Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into, well, the really quite complex world of global finance, specifically how businesses handle money when it's crossing borders.
Yeah, it gets complicated fast.
Think about a company, let's call them Global Gadgets Inc., based in the US. Maybe they buy parts from Japan using yen and sell gadgets in Europe for euros.
A pretty standard setup for a lot of firms these days.
Exactly. So our mission today is to unpack the essential rules Global Gadgets needs to follow for these transactions, these different currencies, and importantly, how they account for those sometimes wild swings in exchange rates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's break this down. How do companies keep track when money's flowing across different countries and currencies?
Well, you know, what's really foundational here, looking at our sort of blueprint for this, is getting that accuracy and consistency in the financial reporting.
Right.
Especially for a company like Global Gadgets, juggling yen, euros, dollars. The key challenge is maintaining a clear, true financial picture, no matter how many currencies are in the mix.
Okay, so first things first. Before Global Gadgets even, say, sells its first gadget overseas, they need to get some definitions straight, right?
Absolutely.
What's the difference between their functional currency and their presentation currency? Mm-hmm. And I guess, why does that distinction matter so much?
Okay, good question. So the functional currency, that's basically the currency of the main economic environment where a specific part of the business operates.
So for Global Gadgets' German office?
Exactly. Yeah. If their German subsidiary mainly earns and spends euros, then euro is its functional currency. It's their sort of day-to-day operating cash.
Got it. And presentation currency?
The presentation currency is different. That's the currency the whole company uses for its main financial statements, the ones they show to the public, to investors.
Ah, so the German office uses euros day to day.
Right.
But back in the U.S., the parent company rolls everything up into U.S. dollars for the big report.
Precisely. And look, this isn't just, you know, accounting nitpicking. It fundamentally changes how you report gains or losses from currency changes.
How so?
Well, it directly impacts the company's reported financial health. It affects how attractive they look to investors globally. It's bedrock stuff.
Okay, bedrock established. We have our functional and presentation currencies sorted. Now, let's follow the money.
Right.
What actually happens when Global Gadgets buys those components from Japan using yen? What's the life cycle there?
Okay, so this is where we get into foreign currency transactions. The first step is called initial recognition.
Initial recognition.
When Global Gadgets first makes that deal, places the order, they record it on their books using the exchange rate at that exact moment. Like taking a financial snapshot.
Makes sense. Snapshot taken. What's next?
Then comes settlement. That's when Global Gadgets actually pays the Japanese supplier.
Okay.
And here's the interesting bit. The exchange rate between the yen and the dollar might have shifted, you know, could be weeks later.
Right. So the value's changed.
Exactly. And that difference creates what's called an exchange difference, a gain or a loss. And that usually gets recognized straight away in the company's profit or loss statement.
Wow. Okay. So for a big company, that could be serious money moving the needle on their profits.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking potentially millions. It highlights that constant sort of dance companies do with currency risk. It's a major factor.
Okay, but what if the payment hasn't happened yet? Say Global Gadgets closes its books for the quarter, but they still owe that yen payment.
Good point. That brings us to remeasurement.
What remeasurement?
Yeah. Any outstanding monetary items, basically cash or debts denominated in a foreign currency, like that yen payable, have to be revalued using the exchange rate at the end of the reporting period.
So you update the value based on the closing rate?
You got it. Fine. Think of it like if you had a loan in Canadian dollars but report in U.S. dollars. Each reporting period, you have to update how much that Canadian loan is worth in U.S. dollars.
And the difference. Also profit or loss.
Generally, yes. Those exchange differences from remeasurement usually hit the income statement, too. Now, the source also mentions advance consideration.
What's that?
This is interesting. If Global Gadgets pays or gets paid in advance for something.
Ah, like a deposit?
Sort of, yeah. If it's a non-monetary item paid in advance, the exchange rate on the date of that advance payment is essentially locked in for that part of the transaction.
So it simplifies things later. Avoid some of that fluctuation risk.
It can, for that specific prepaid or pre-received portion. It reduces some uncertainty down the line.
Okay, this is intricate stuff. Tracking initial rates, settlement rates, period end rates. So after Global Gadgets does all this careful accounting, How do they explain it all? How do they make sure investors and, well, anyone reading their reports understand what's going on with all these currencies? What about transparency?
Yeah, that's absolutely crucial. And that brings us to the final piece, disclosure. The source material really emphasizes this.
What do they need to disclose?
Well, Global Gadgets has to clearly state the total amount of those exchange differences that hit their profit or loss. They need to explain how currency changes affected their assets, their liabilities. Basically, provide enough detail.
So people can see the real impact of currency.
Exactly. Connecting it to the bigger picture, you know, this kind of transparency is vital. Stakeholders, investors, lenders, analysts, they need this info to properly understand the company's exposure to currency risk and its true performance in this global economy.
It really shows how these sort of structured accounting rules bring necessary order to what could otherwise be financial chaos, right?
Definitely.
From defining the basic currencies, tracking every transaction step, adjusting for rate changes, and then being transparent about it all. It's a robust system.
It is. And, you know, thinking about all these detailed rules, it does raise a broader question, doesn't it?
Well, how much do these detailed accounting requirements actually influence a company's strategic decisions? Does the complexity or the potential volatility shown in the reports make companies more hesitant to engage in global trade or make investments abroad? Does it subtly shape the landscape of the whole international economy?
That's a fascinating thought. How the rules themselves might shape the game. Something for all of us to think about.
Indeed.
Well, thank you for helping break that down today. And thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you feel a bit more clued in on the world of foreign currency accounting.